Stand by. Transmitting sound. Download complete. Now launching audio stream. The Kelly Alexander Show.
Up first is New Jersey-based alternative rock band Young Rising Suns talking about their EP and what it's like putting out solid music and being on the road with the 1975. Minneapolis quintet Sun Gods to Gamma Rays open up about their album A Ghost to Find and what it's like trying to make a music career based in the American Midwest. Jazz trumpeter Eachem Kalfa discusses his new album Histoire Sans Mots and what it takes to make it in the world of jazz. We wrap things up with a killer remix from Madonna, Living for Love, the Offernissim Living for Drums remix.
Capture your need for sound.
We're very excited to welcome to the Kelly Alexander Show the boys of Young Rising Suns, Andy, Dylan, Julian, Steve. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Can I start off by saying that you're very cute? I like that. You're all very cute, which I appreciate because rock stars need to look the part, so it's good.
Thank you.
I wanted to start off by asking about the hometown or being the home state of New Jersey.
Yeah.
So many great acts come out of there, obviously too many to mention, but I'll just say Bon Jovi and Bruce Springsteen, just because I find that it plays a lot in their music. So what element of New Jersey plays into your music?
I think Bruce is the number one. Bruce, Gaslight Anthem is another huge one, but the culture around New Jersey music is such a big thing. I'm originally from Ohio.
Okay.
And we don't have like a Bruce Springsteen or anything like that there. So when I moved to New Jersey, just like being immersed in that culture was a totally new and awesome thing to me. And I don't think there really is another place like that.
Do you find the influence of New York seeps in at all as well? Or
yeah, I think so. I mean, I think there's a New York influence if you go to New York. I think that's the big difference. I don't think it seeps into New Jersey because there's a special thing in New Jersey that unless you're from there or you're a transplant, like Andy is an honorary New Jerseyan, you will never understand the culture. Yeah. It's a certain culture and feeling that you have that nobody can like take away from you.
I think the biggest thing though is Frank Sinatra. I mean, okay. When people think Frank Sinatra, New York, like they think yeah. Oh yeah, he's a New York guy. From fucking New Jersey. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. I was reading on your bio about the fact that you said being positive, like creating positive music for your fans is important.
Mm-hmm.
I find that really interesting because I find so many artists want to be like Debbie Downers. Not all the time, but like they want to be so deep.
That artistic.
And, yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And I love that you guys want to be uplifting. Where does that come from?
I don't know. I think we've been a band for a long time and we've been kicked around a lot by the music industry. So we've really experienced those lows and the down times, but I think, and I can speak for all of us, that makes us appreciate the better times in the music industry and as friends and as just people of the world. It makes us appreciate the better times even that much more. So
I think if you listen to the verses in a lot of our songs, that's where it comes out, like the emotion comes out of how low or sad or depressed you can actually be. But the choruses come and it's like, it's going in a certain place. It's going to get better. You know, things are always going to get better. And I think that's what we try to do is describe the sadness, but bring it alive in the chorus and tell people that it's going to be okay.
Yeah. Talk to us about the song High. Great video, great song.
Thank you. Was it
a difficult track to write? Because for example, I remember reading or hearing an interview with Elton John saying that he likes to write his songs in about 10 minutes, you know, get her done.
Yeah, well, that's funny.
If it's not happening in 10 minutes, he's not going to use it. Yeah. So how quickly or not quickly do songs come to you guys?
That song came in about 5.
Okay.
So yeah,
okay.
Yeah, that song came really quick. It was just, you know, kind of a thing where Andy was messing around with something and he said, is this hello or is this goodbye?
Is this goodbye?
And I said, wait, did you just say, is this the low or is this the high? And he's like, no, but that's awesome. So we were like, okay, let's try something with that. And within like 5 to 10 minutes, that song was written. And you know,
how does the songwriting process go for you guys normally? Like Andy, like, are you always writing the lyrics and then you crash it out, or is it all different, like all the time?
It's actually like very organic, and we all contribute. We're a democracy, you know.
Yeah, there's no one lyricist or one melodic guy. We all just put those ideas together, whether, you know, and whoever's we think is the best or is awesome, we'll just be like, yeah, we're going with that.
Yeah, one of us will have like an idea lyrically, melodically, or some kind of riff or something, and bring it into Steve's basement where we write the little dungeon that it is, and we'll bounce ideas off each other until it's something we can all like stand behind.
It's cool too because it's never like, oh no, I really think my part's better. Like we'll just kind of like someone will do something and be like, that's way better than what I just did.
So. Yeah, it's one of those organic things where it's like we're also like such best friends. Like there's no like ego in this band. There's no like, oh, I'm the lead singer, I'm the guitar player, so I should write my part. If somebody's part is better, it's just better, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really, really important in our band, and as a friendship.
Speaking of being in the band, I don't know if you guys have heard of Headley, our big Canadian band. Headley is like our big.
Sounds very familiar.
Yeah, they're like our big band, and they awesome. Do very well across Canada. Sweet. And Jacob Hogard is the lead singer of this band. And he had mentioned when their last album came out, I spoke to him and I said, what's the best part about being in the band or whatever? And he said, actually, there's so many great things about being in the band, but he's like, the difficult part is actually being in the band. So is that true? Like, I mean, he obviously loves being in a band, but he's like, I guess because they've been together for 12 years, like just sort of keeping it on the rails for such a long time.
I mean, for us, we've been together like 5. Not really. I mean, I don't think it's difficult for us being in the band because we'd be together if we weren't in the band anyway. Like these guys, Steve and Andy, live together at home, and we're all like, if we're home, which we are never home now, mm-hmm. but if we were, we would always be together, whether it's playing Xbox or playing hockey or playing whatever it is that we do. We just hang out, you know, in Steve's backyard, like hanging out, smoking cigarettes or doing whatever, you know, it's just what we do and we've always done. So, I mean, being in a band is just a bonus. For us, it's great.
How is touring for you guys? Like you know, you're out on the road all the time. Can you actually write on the road, or are you getting ideas? Like, how does that work?
It's really tough, and it's been hard because we need to deliver an album by a certain time, and we've just been on the road constantly. So when we're home is when we do most of our writing. On tour, it's kind of all a blur, mm-hmm. and it's tough to kind of separate time and put time aside for writing. But I mean, you definitely see a lot, and you can definitely be inspired a lot by a lot of things on the road. So I think it certainly comes into play once we get into the studio or Steve's basement and start writing and working on new things.
I have to ask you this. If you guys could switch places with any band for one day right now, who would it be? Just for one day, like just switch places.
I would love to be Bob Dylan, just to like kind of see what's going on in his head.
I'm gonna go the totally not cool route and just say One Direction, just to see what it's like to be like that insanely well known all the time, no matter what you do.
I'm gonna go with a non-cool one too. Well, I mean, she's pretty cool, I guess. Katy Perry.
I love Katy Perry. That's my girl.
Yeah, she's totally cool. And yeah, Part of Me, that was so good.
Julian, who would you like to be? I'm making you guys work before.
Well, seeing as I'm a Mets fan,
yeah,
and I'm also a huge Beatles fan, if I could be the Beatles at Shea Stadium.
Okay.
Just for like that specific moment, that'd be pretty cool, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Paul, man, plays bass.
Do bass players get any respect? I love you guys, but do you feel like alone out there?
I think for me, it's like I've kind of like, even though it is a joke, I've kind of accepted the whole like, oh, he's just a bass player, just like whatever. So I kind of like, oh, it's like, oh, I want to talk to Dylan. Oh, I want to talk to Andy. I'm like, someone comes up. I was like, you want to talk to either of them? Someone can be right here if you need me. So
how's it like being, though?
Exactly.
Know your role. Yeah. What's it like, though, being the rhythm section? Like, are you guys really you have to be in tune with each other, obviously, quite a bit.
I spend a good amount of the set just, like, looking at Steve. Just to make sure I'm, like, on point with him. So.
I mean, we're obviously the most important part of the band. We hold it all together back there. But no, it's cool. It's everyone kind of is working off each other. There's no real like defined line like, oh, you're the rhythm section or anything. It's just we go up there and we work as one unit to play the best show we can.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, I even like follow the drums. I don't like, I'm not like, oh yeah, let me follow. Yeah, like I'm always asking for hi-hat in my ears and like, and oh, I need more toms in my ears. And it's like, I think everybody just literally follows Steve. I don't think
Steve, you're the Mac Daddy over there.
I think so. I think it's because it's a lot of pressure. Yeah, no, it's just, I think it's one of those things where it's like, you know, we're so used to like back when we weren't touring, we didn't have like in-ear monitors or monitors on stage. We would just all play to the drummer. Even as kids, since we were like 11 years old, we all just like, oh, the drummer's playing. I should probably play to him, you know.
I'm not sure how many dates you guys have done in Canada in general, but have you noticed, is there a difference between like your American peeps and your Canadian peeps?
One time in Toronto, we got heckled.
Really?
And that's never happened in America.
I'm apologizing for all Canadians.
Yeah,
now.
And it's like,
it's terrible.
Because everybody's always like, oh, Canadians are so nice and everything. And we're always like, yeah, because we love hockey. We're huge hockey fans. Nice. So we're like, we're the biggest fans of Canada. But every time we come here, like, something bad happens. It's like mean people yelling in the crowd and then people like stealing like $50,000 worth of stuff from us.
Montrealers are really nice, though, I have to tell you. Yeah. We're so much like, we'll steal your stuff, I mean, but we're so nice.
Yeah, you're so nice.
I will say about Toronto, and they're going to punch me right now, but I lived there for 8 years, and this is what Toronto is. It's wannabe New Yorkers, and it hasn't worked out. That's what Toronto is.
Exactly the vibe.
Yes, yeah, I mean, that's exactly it. Just speak to us about this album that's supposed to be coming. How's that going, and what do you want us to, or what do you want to give to us? Like, is it going to be a collection of songs, thematic? Like, how's that working?
Yeah, I mean, it's more of a joke that we have to finish more songs. I mean, the album's pretty much done.
Okay.
You know, you'll see it within first quarter of next year. Mm-hmm. We're actually going to have the songs from the EP on there, but you're going to see, like, a huge, like, a juxtaposition between what was on the EP and what was on the album. I think it's going to be a huge collection of songs that are just very emotional and soulful. And I think people are going to be very pleased with it. I think it's a very well-rounded album.
A last question. I always find when you're reading about bands, like everybody wants to describe, you know, they sound like this one and that one and this one. How would you guys describe yourselves? Like, what is your sound? And obviously it's probably evolving.
Yeah, I think it's constantly evolving. I don't think any of us like to really put like a label on it, mm-hmm. and or like compare us to other bands. But I think, like, as far as like genre goes, it's like kind of soulful rock and roll.
Okay.
That's the best way I can think of describe it.
And there's a lot of pop elements to it. Like, mm-hmm. there's definitely a lot of pop elements. We like, you know, pop music a lot. So that's definitely like a really in all music, like in rock music back, because we're huge fans of like the 60s and 70s. Mm-hmm. A lot of the rock music that we listened to was all pop music, you know? That was what was played. So I think there's always going to be elements of pop within our songs, and like melodically and lyrically. It's definitely something that's super important to us.
And now that you tell me you're a Katy Perry fan,
yeah.
You're a Katy cat.
Yeah, I guess
fantastic.
So, yeah. No, I love Katy Perry. Like,
nice!
That's not true.
Guys, thank you so much for hanging out on the show. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
That is Andy, Dylan, Julian, and Steve of Young Rising Sons. Make sure to check out their website, youngrisingsons.com.
Inside my heart, there's an emptiness, a heavy hate on a hollow chest. So unspoken like a disease. Is this the
Hi, 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 hi.
It's a great pleasure to welcome Minneapolis quintet Sun Gods to Gamma Rays to The Kelly Alexander Show. The group formed in 2013 and set about recording their first EP, The Water, The Wave, garnering them much attention on the indie rock scene. They've just released their first full-length album called A Ghost to Find, and we welcome lead vocalist Brianna Kochka to the show. Brianna, thank you for hanging out with us on the show today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So your group hasn't been together all that long. How did you actually find each other and get rolling back in 2013?
Yeah, that's a great question. My husband is, his name's Peter. He's also the Rhodes player in the band. So he's kind of like what we consider the Kevin Bacon of the band. He's kind of a connection point for everybody. So he actually used to own a recording studio with our guitarist. And then the two of them used to be in another band with our bassist, and he also lived with our bassist for a while. So those three have kind of gone back many, many years. And then obviously he and I were in a relationship, so that's kind of how we connected. And then our drummer, actually Peter, sold his drum cymbals to him via Craigslist about 5 years ago. And so we didn't really know him, but we were auditioning drummers and he came and tried out. And then we figured out that Peter had met him, in a past life. One day we just decided to get together to record something for this thing called the 69 Love Songs record, which was a remake in Minneapolis by 69 different artists. And I was asked for my solo project to do that. So we kind of all gathered together and they helped me record that. And that's kind of the beginning of the band as far as how we came together. So yeah.
Now you have to explain the name because that is a huge moniker to carry.
In terms of Sun Gods to Gamma Ray?
Yeah, like it's just a really fun but like super crazy cool name. So you got to explain that for all of us.
Yeah, absolutely. So growing up, Peter and I both had this coffee table book that our fathers had, and it was, I'm trying to remember the name of it now, it's called Our Universe, and it's a National Geographic book that was put out in like the 70s, and it's essentially an atlas of the universe, and the first chapter was called Sun Gods to Gamma Rays, which is kind of a throwback to talking about, people, believed in mythos and sun gods, and then it led us to gamma rays and science. So it's kind of a representation of like the expanse of history and how it's important to kind of embrace both sides of it. So, yeah.
That's very cool. Now, you guys have been described as indie rock, but in listening to your music, you seem to draw from other genres. How would you actually describe what you guys produce?
That's a really good question. And it's a hard one for us to answer because we all come from such varied musical backgrounds. Like our guitarist, Paul, he does like pre-war jazz and blues for his solo stuff. Our bassist is a DJ who's like really into trap music. And I come from a totally like indie rock background. But so I think we all just like draw from totally different musical resources. And that's where our sound comes from. But when we started the band, we knew we really wanted to be ethereal and kind of create soundscapes for people to listen to. So I think that's kind of where the inspiration comes from. We've gotten a lot of comparisons to like Pink Floyd and Sneaker Pimps and Portishead. And I think there's like some comparisons there. It kind of seems like low fruit to grab from, but yeah, I don't know.
That's very good, though.
It's hard to answer.
That's cool. Because when you said like soundscape, that makes sense to me. Because in listening to your stuff, like, yeah, like it feels like that's a big part of who you guys are. So I can get that. Mm-hmm. I have to ask you this. You guys are working out of Minneapolis, famous for Mr. Prince and, sounds of like Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis from the time who obviously, worked with Prince as well. Has Prince and people like Jimmy and Terry, that vibe, has that played into who you guys are at all? Like, because it just seems like that's such the flavor that comes out of there.
Yeah, I would say that doesn't really play into our vibe at all. Prince is kind of like the golden god here.
Okay. So,
which is awesome. I grew up about 5 minutes away from Paisley Park, so I really love Prince, but nobody else in the band is really like, is totally jiving with Prince. So I would say it doesn't really have a big influence on us, but for me personally, yeah, for sure.
That's awesome. 5 minutes from Paisley Park, that's great. And he's still there, right? Like he's still based out of there, I think, most of the time.
I know he for sure has a house in Chanhassen, and I grew up in Chasco, which is right next to it. But I'm not sure how often he's there. I think he has a couple other houses throughout the world as well. So, and his house is like, it's, yeah, 5-minute drive from Paisley Park, and which is its own thing. And then Peter, our Rhodes player, he was actually one of the on-call audio engineers for Paisley Park at one point in time, too. I don't think he ever got to work there, but he,
wow, that's crazy.
He's inside. So,
so Prince, I guess in a way, is the ultimate sun god from where you guys are coming from.
Absolutely.
Joining us on the show is vocalist Brianna Kochka from Sun Gods to Gamma Rays. Make sure to check them out on their website, sungodstogammarays.com. I have to ask you this just about Minneapolis, because I think a lot of people equate, you know, Minnesota with freezing, but what kind of music scene is actually burning over there? Cause I, you know, I think everybody's got their sound, and is it like a really creative community that you guys have over there?
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous, quite frankly. And I mean, in the most positive way, but the music that comes out of this place is so varied, and there's so much. I mean, every single night of the week, you can pretty much walk into any bar that that has music, which is most of them, and find a band to listen to that you'll actually probably enjoy. So, I mean, the main like type of music that's coming out of here right now is like a lot of hip hop and a lot of like electronic music, like Police is from here, and they're really big, and Marijuana Death Squad from here, and they're really big, and they do more of like, you know, that electronic vibe. So, but that you can find anything you want, like from folk to blues to electronic to hip hop to, I don't know, fill in the blank and you'll find it here. So it's awesome.
Do you find too, Brianna, that again, because obviously you do guys, you know, have cold temperatures, obviously in the winter, that's, you know, for sure. Do you find that people are still willing to go out though to these live shows to support, like, you know, to leave their homes and get out there?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say like the first couple of months of winter, it's pretty quiet. People are like hunkering down and getting ready to have their like proverbial hibernation. But come, I think January and February, people are so tired of being inside that they like have to go out and do something. So there's a lot of people that come to shows just to like get out and be part of the culture. Because here in the summertime, we actually do a lot of outdoor festivals. So yeah, the winter is mostly the indoor shows for people that are feeling.
Where do you guys fit in, Brianna? Because, you know, again, you guys are creating this sort of soundscape apart from the actual undertones of what your music is. So is there a scene for you, or are you guys sort of making your own scene?
I feel like we're making our own scene. There's not a lot of people making music in the similar genre that we are here. It's actually been really hard for us to try and book shows in the city because we were trying to book bills with similar sounding bands. There's just not a lot out there. I mean, we've been lucky because the people here are really okay with going to shows that are mixed genre shows. Like you'll find a hip hop band playing with a punk band and people are okay with that. But yeah, it has been tricky. So it does kind of feel like we're doing our own thing, which I'm fine with.
Okay, very good. Being on your own path is good. Talk to us about the first single off the new album, A Ghost to Find, which happens to be the name of the CD. What's the inspiration behind the song?
Yeah, A Ghost to Find, our guitarist Paul kind of came up with the riff before I'd written any of the lyrics. But from a lyrical perspective, I've kind of been going through a pretty massive faith transition over the past 5-6 years. Grew up a pretty strong conservative Christian, and now I'm a pretty adamant, I don't want to say atheist because I'm not an atheist, but I'm pretty agnostic. So the song kind of represents to me a growing time and kind of moving myself away from the religion of my past, but also still kind of being haunted by it. So, and a lot of the record is kind of aimed that way. It's a mixture of like some sexy songs and then some like very heartfelt emotional songs that have to do with that moving on process and learning to be okay with it.
Now, after being together for such a short time, the band, was it challenging to launch into producing this, you know, this full length album?
It was and it wasn't. So we put the EP out just about a year ago. And then we pretty much instantly decided we wanted to do a full length and didn't want to lose any of the steam of the first record. So we started writing the full length right away. We wrote it in about 7 months. So that was challenging because it was such a fast period of time to be working on a record. I was feeling a little drained of inspiration while we were doing it, but luckily we brought in a couple really great friends who helped produce the record. Joe Mabbitt is the man who engineered and mixed it, and he's worked with a lot of great local acts. He's also worked with, like, Snoop Dogg has come through and worked with him. So he helped us produce it, which was, honestly, if he hadn't, it probably wouldn't be nearly as awesome as we think it is. And then another friend helped us produce some vocals for it. So, yeah, I feel like that without those two, it wouldn't be nearly as awesome as it is. So we're pretty lucky.
What have you learned about yourself as the vocalist of the band?
Ooh.
I'm all about the big questions, Brianna.
That's a great question. I used to be primarily a guitarist and a singer. I can kind of play the piano as well, but guitar was kind of my thing. And in my old band, Kaitani, it was an indie rock band where I played guitar. And what I've learned with this new project is it's a little bit more like I'm forced to be singing a little bit more like R&B style, which doesn't necessarily come naturally to me, but I really love it. So I've actually had to put my instrument down to focus in on how I sing and getting the right sound and making sure that I'm like using my body in the right way. So if anything, I've kind of just feel like I've just really learned how to sing properly, mm-hmm. which has been really fun and really good. Yeah.
And where do you see the band heading, and will you guys, you know, stay out of Minneapolis? Because, for example, you know, here in Canada, I know that a lot of times, depending on where a band is from, either they'll sort of hunker down where they're at, or they will make the move to Toronto, to Montreal, or to Vancouver. Do you guys feel like you might have to head out?
Yeah, I don't think we're in any immediate rush to get out of Minneapolis. This is a pretty great spot for music in the Midwest. And I don't know, I've done a lot of research in terms of like the breaking indie artists that are coming out within the past couple of years. And they've all been doing it for like 10 years and are just getting their break now. So I don't think we're in any rush to like be recognized. We want to just keep doing what we love doing and hopefully tour. We would love to come to Canada. I actually went to university in Canada, so I'd love to come to Canada and play.
Good for
you.
So, and have you got, like, obviously the album's out now. Do you have like a winter tour plan at all, or just sort of gigging around home and then maybe head out, you know, for festivals or something in the spring and summer?
Yeah, definitely the latter. We just played our record release show, and then we're going to do one more show at the end of this month here in the city. And then we're actually going to work on licensing for film and publishing. So just like doing stuff that would show up in commercials and movie trailers and stuff like that, just because it's a good way to make money and get yourself out there while not having to tour, because it's really hard to tour in the winter, especially around the Midwest. It's so icy and kind of dangerous. And but yeah, the plan is to do some summer festivals for sure. That's the dream. Hopefully our manager will get us some good gigs.
And before I let you go, I know social media has obviously been around for several years now, but I'm always interested to find out, you know, have you guys embraced it? You know, when I talk to artists, and do you think it's playing a part in your success?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I guess I haven't really thought about it that much. In some ways I do feel like I personally would love to get rid of my Facebook account, but I know that, right now, since I'm the one running our band Facebook account, it just doesn't make any sense because I want to be able to reach the widest audience possible. So I think social media is really important. We've tried to be as active as possible, but it's really hard to juggle the social media stuff and booking the band and doing your marketing and, you know, fill in the blank with the various things you have to do. So, we've probably fallen behind a bit on it, but hopefully over time we'll get better. And I think it is really important, especially in our kind of global culture that we live in today.
Right. Awesome. Brianna, thank you so much for your time today. We really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That's vocalist Brianna Kochia again from Sun Gods to Gamma Rays. Make sure to check out their website, sungodstogammarays.com.
Hey, this is Brianna from Sun Gods to Gamma Rays, and you're hanging out on the Kelly Alexander Show.
KellyAlexanderShow.com.
Our next guest is someone who is a passionate musician who picked up the trumpet at the age of 7. He's played in many different styles and formations around the world, including France, Switzerland, China, Mexico, and Canada. We're happy to welcome jazz trumpeter Isham Kalfa to the Kelly Alexander Show, talking about his career and new album, Histoire sans mots. Isham, welcome to the show.
Hi.
So you started learning the trumpet at the age of 7. Why did you start so young, and why the trumpet and not the piano, for example?
Okay, so I started very young because I was a very like a turbulent boy. Like I was crying and like running and stuff. So I was not really a calm boy. So my mom decided to put me to music. And trumpet, I don't know. I didn't choose a piano because it was classes. It was already full, so I had to choose something else, and I chose a trumpet. Maybe I heard it on the TV or something, but I don't know why exactly. So I think that's why I picked up the trumpet.
Did you ever have any desire to switch instruments, or did you sort of know after a little while of playing the trumpet that that was going to be your instrument?
I always felt like it was my instrument, but I also wanted to try saxophone for a while, but then I gave up the idea.
No woodwind for you.
No, but it was too much work on the trumpet, and I didn't want like to switch to another one and like spend a lot of time. Like, if I wanted to be 100% on my trumpet, I had like to spend the whole time I have for that. I can play a bit of piano or a bit of drums, but I never do a gig with on piano or drums.
Now, is it a difficult instrument to play the trumpet, and is it difficult to master to get really good at it?
Like all instruments are difficult, but like for horns, it can be more difficult than other instrument in a way that you don't have the sound. Like for example, piano, you just press the key and you have a sound already. And the trumpet is like a bit different. You have to make the sound. It's not the first time you pick up the trumpet that you're gonna be able to do a sound. So it can be frustrating the first days, but after it's difficult in a way too. Like you have to be in good shape. You have to play every day, like to practice every day. It's not an instrument you can't play for a week and then do a gig after that. You can't do that. Like some people can, but it's pretty rare to do that.
It's actually interesting that you brought up to be in good shape, because I was actually just watching a YouTube video of you and your quintet, I think playing a song called Fromage Rouge on YouTube. And I was noticing, because I actually played in a high school band, so I had a bunch of friends that, you know, played trumpet and saxophone and baritone sax and all that stuff. I was actually the drummer, so I didn't have to worry about that.
Okay.
But I remember, you know, just knowing, like, as a trumpeter, you know, watching them have to stand and obviously using their fingers quite a bit. Do you actually have to train? Because I remember just watching that YouTube clip and seeing, like, just how much your forearm muscles are moving. Like, do you have to almost treat yourself like an athlete a little bit?
You have to, like, it's just muscles. Like, it's really, like, I think music, like, especially trumpet, like sport, you know, like an athlete, you have to warm up, you have to, like, do your stuff every day, like the same routine every day to be in good shape. Then you do your exercises to, like, progress and be better every day. And then you warm down. And that's the way you have to, that's the way I think music and, like, trumpet especially. Because just muscles, if you think about it, it's just muscle, and you have to treat them like that.
Now, do you feel like you have mastered the trumpet, or are you still continuously learning?
We all are learning. Like, I don't know any musician who's going to say he's not learning anymore. We every day discover some stuff on our instrument and about music and everything. So every day we are learning from anyone, not only from teachers, but like even from people that some people, they're going to say they are like not better than you. Like they play not good, but you still learn from them.
Joining us on the show is jazz trumpeter Isham Kalfa. Make sure to check out his website, the270sessions.com, for more information. Now, I wanted to ask you this, Isham. Again, just because of being in high school band, I know that there's not only the trumpet, but there's the cornet. Do you play both?
I started with the cornet when I was 7 because trumpet was too big for me.
Okay.
And I played cornet like until my 20s. When I was 21, I stopped playing classical music, because I played classical music for a while, and we still play cornet in classical music, in orchestras and concertos and everything. So yeah, I kept playing it, but it's not that different than trumpet.
Okay. Now, when it comes to playing the trumpet itself, I know you mentioned you have to be like an athlete and sort of conduct yourself as such. Is it also difficult playing the different genres? Like, I know you obviously do jazz, but I know you've just mentioned you've done classical. Is there a different genre that's harder than the other?
It's not harder. Like, it's just the way you feel it. Like, maybe some people are going to be like more comfortable in classical music than jazz. But what is hard is like to switch and do both in the same time. I don't know a lot of people who did that like at a professional level. Like, I know Wynton Marsalis did it, and he had, like, he was, in, like, nominated for the 2 Grammys in the same year for classical and jazz. But I don't know a lot of people who are, like, able to do that, because it's pretty different, the way to play and the way to think, the sound and everything. So you'll have to be in different mind to play this, and it's kind of hard.
Do you have a favorite? Like, is jazz where your heart is at?
Yes, I stopped classical music for that. I love classical music. I love playing in orchestras, but I prefer playing jazz and big jazz, you know, like jazz, not straight jazz standards, but like jazz and funk and like all this improv music. So I feel more comfortable with that. Yeah.
Now, you've played in many formations. Who are you playing with now on your album Histoire sans mots, and how did the group come together?
Okay, so I started to put the band together last year, like not last January, in 2014. And guys I met at Diazons, the club in Montreal, during the jam sessions hosted by Alex Bellegarde, who is a bass player in the quintet. And it features Martin Auguste, Jérôme Beaulieu, and Al McLean. So these guys are all guys I met at jam session, and I wanted to have my band. I was thinking, like, hey, why not doing band with people I play every Tuesday, and I know, and we know, like, and we are good friends too. We're not just good musicians together, but we're also good friends, and I think that's something important. If you want to have a good band, have good friends too, like, not in the human side too, not just musician. So yeah.
Was it a challenging experience recording the album, or did you enjoy it from, you know, start to finish?
A bit of both. I was a bit, I was not nervous at the beginning because I was super happy and was in good conditions, and like we had a lot of time to prepare and everything. But the first day I was kind of nervous because I did a lot of recordings, but not under my name. It's the first time I do an album under my name, and I was kind of nervous because you want everything to be perfect, but you don't want to be too maniac too, because if not, like, you're going to lose some like soul in your album. It's going to sound like a robot, and you don't want that too. So you have to find a bit in between. And it's pretty tough. At the end of the day, it was a really, really good experience. And I want to do that again. Not now, but I want to do that again, for sure.
Are all the compositions, you know, on the album Histoire sans mots original? And would you describe the album as all jazz? Because I know that you've done other styles like electro and all that stuff. So is it purely jazz, the album? And are they all original compositions?
Yeah, so it's all originals. And I don't know, like, I didn't think about how to call my music. I prefer, like, people call it. But yeah, it's more jazz, but it's not like standards, you know, it's like contemporary jazz, if I can say that. But
right.
Yeah, I don't know the genre of the music, so
okay.
I let you decide for that. And maybe you can call me and tell me.
Well, I think it's fantastic, and it sounds very jazzy to me, so that's good.
Cool.
Did you you know, we've mentioned off the top that you have played in so many different countries around the world, you know, France and Switzerland and China and Mexico and Canada. Yeah. I know that you reside, you know, in my hometown right now of Montreal, Canada.
Yeah.
Do you plan to stay here, and how do you find our jazz scene? Because obviously we have the huge festival every summer in June, the Montreal Jazz Fest, which brings in people all around the world. Is the jazz scene a healthy place in Montreal?
Yeah, it is. Like, the first gig I had, it was in jazz music when I was in Montreal. It was like after the second month I was in town. So it was really, really quick. And it's a city where you have a lot of things happening, but it's not a super big city, so everybody like knows each other, especially in the music business. So it goes super fast, and you can make a living for that, like from music, just playing music, you can do that. So I think it's pretty good for that. So I plan to stay and see how things goes, and we'll see. But for now, yeah, I plan to stay.
Now, when it comes to the album Histoire sans mots, do you plan to tour quite a bit with the new record to promote it, like whether here in Quebec or abroad?
Yeah, like I, if I can do that, that's my objective. Like, if I of course want to play, and I don't want to just be an album people just listen to it and don't see the show. So that's why too, I didn't want to like do too many featurings on the album and stuff, because I want to play the album like in the show as it was recorded, well, like, with the same people and.
Okay.
The same spirit too. So yeah, but I want to play it like as more as possible, of course.
Now, you mentioned that you would like to do another album in the future. Do you think you'll always stick in the genre of jazz, or do you think you could branch out into other styles?
Maybe something else, maybe the same thing. I don't know yet, but yeah, I can switch to a lot of different kind of music. So it can be like a different formation. It could be the same, but with a different style. I didn't think about it yet, but I don't think it's going to be the exact same kind of music.
Okay. And what do you plan to do for the next 12 months? Like, you know, lots of gigs, lots of dates to get the music out there?
Yeah, I'm working on that, like, actually for now, and do, like, all this Maison de la Culture and all these festivals and everything, and, like, play as much as I can. Okay. Yeah, so that's going to be my objective. Like, I'm going to spend a lot of time behind my computer because I don't have any, like, booker, or, like, if someone here from that, like, if there is a booker or booking agency who is interested, just let me know.
Very good. Very good. Yeah. And Isha, before I let you go, you know, if people are listening right now and they have a young child that, you know, that they might want to get into music and not follow the regular route, if I can call it, of playing piano or guitar, what would you say to a young person, you know, male or female, who would want to pick up the trumpet?
It's a good choice, but you have to, like, be patient, because it's not going to be easy the first time, especially when you're a teenager, when you're like 12 or 13, like your friends are doing cool stuff, like playing drums and electric guitar and bass. But trumpet is cool too. You can do really, really good stuff with it, but you have to be patient and work. You have to practice every day. So that's the key of the success.
Excellent. Isham, thank you so much for spending time with us on the show. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
That's jazz trumpeter Isham Kalfa. Check out the website, the270sessions.com.
Hey, it's Isham Kalfa, and you're listening to The Kelly Alexander Show. We'll be right back.
It's the Kelly Alexander Show.
Thank you so much for spending time with us on the show this week. And as always, thank you to my guests, Young Rising Suns, Sun Gods to Gamma Rays, and Eachem Kelfa. Here is your thought-provoking quote of the week, this time coming from Zig Ziglar. Try to look at your weakness and convert it into your strength. That's success. Please make sure to follow us on all of our social media, on Twitter, at @KAlexanderShow, on Facebook, Kelly Alexander Show, on Instagram, at Kelly Alexander Show, and of course, on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/KellyAlexanderShow. Have an excellent week. You and I will chat soon.